transportation stall will be number 276, Park Avenue, 276.
Certainly grateful again for the presence of everyone here this evening, and I hope you have your Bibles with you and that you'll be taking them out and following along for the next few moments as we study from God's Word for just a few moments this evening. Before we get started this evening, I want to say I'm thankful again for the opportunity to have come and to have been here this week in this gospel meeting. As I said, this place will always be special to us. We were here for 9 years. My dad was almost 9 years here. And I was baptized in the baptistry behind me and preached my first sermon standing in the same pulpit. Some hard to believe over 8 years ago when we were through here visiting. And I'm certainly grateful for the opportunity to hold this meeting for you this week. And I hope that the things that we have studied, you have found to be beneficial, and that it will help us to grow stronger as Christians and grow closer to God so that we can all be in heaven someday. This evening, as Alan already mentioned, and as we've been mentioning throughout this week, we want to close our studies of lessons that we've been, studies that we've been doing by asking a question this evening, and that is asking the question of, can I get a cheaper plan? You know, if you've gone to any kind of TV service recently, or any kind of internet service recently, you probably notice that as you go on their website to sign up for whether you want to have you want to get cable, or whether you want to get satellite, or you want to try some kind of streaming internet, streaming TV service, that there are a variety of options that you are able to choose from. Some of the options range down from, as we'll see in a minute, some free plans or sometimes free trials. Some of them are relatively cheap in nature, and some of them can get to be more expensive based on the amount of features you may want to add to your service. I know that the streaming service Hulu has a plan ranging from somewhere, I think, around $5 all the way up to over $100 if you want to add the live TV and all the features they've got. And you just pick whatever one of those plans, if you want that service, fits the need that you have. And if all you want is the shows on the $5 plan, you pay for a $5 plan. And if you want all the features and all the bells and whistles with the streaming service, you pay for the most expensive plan, or you can pick any number of the ones in between. It's really up to your choosing and what you're willing to pay for that service. Well, sometimes there are individuals who view Christianity somewhat in that way, and that is, they say, I want to serve God, I want to live for Him, but I want to choose a plan that fits the need that I have. I want to choose the plan that costs me only what I'm willing to pay. And so, like looking at that TV service, they want to serve God, but they're hoping they can serve God and have a $5 plan, something much cheaper, something that may not cost them so much, as opposed to paying a greater price in service to God. And so what we want to do for a few moments this evening is ask that question of, can I get a cheaper plan? That's the question that if you're signing up for some TV service, you probably ask the salesman or woman, can I get a cheaper plan? And that's the question some may have about Christianity. And so let's explore for a few moments that question this evening. Let's begin by talking about a, quote, free plan. Now we understand, as we go farther into this lesson, we'll talk about the true plan, and the fact there is but one true plan. But what we want to see in these first 2 points, well, 3 points this evening, is we want to see the plans that people are willing to pay for, and then we'll see what the plan really demands and the price that God's plan demands of us. And so sometimes what people want in serving God is a free plan. Again, if you go to sign up for some kind of subscription service, some of them have a free plan. You may only have a few shows you can watch. If you sign up for a streaming TV service and it's free, they may give you some shows, just a handful. Or they'll give you part. Here you have half. You can watch half the show, hoping you'll get hooked on the show and you'll pay to watch the rest. There's a free plan that gives you some features. And so if you want to sign up for a streaming service and watch the shows that are free, just sign up for the free plan. Why pay? Well, sometimes there are those who view Christianity that way, and that is, this plan is what people want to use in the real world or in life in terms of the subscription services to determine if they want to benefit or just to get a handful of benefits. And that's how we can view Christianity. That's how some view Christianity. Just like you go to sign up for this streaming service and here's a free plan and maybe it comes with 10 shows, but here's a show I really wanted to watch and it's free. Why pay for the service when I'll watch the free one? And then I get the benefit I want and then I'll just keep with the free one. Maybe I'll find a new show. I'll cancel it. Or maybe you have you see a service and the service is advertising, here's a week or a 2 week free trial. And so you sign up for that free trial. You, as they say, binge watch all the show that you want right there real quick. Watch the whole thing in a week or two. Cancel your service instead of paying, and you got the benefits you wanted. Well, some want to serve God, but they want a free plan to where they can get all the benefits that they want, and that benefit ultimately being a home in heaven. But they want a plan that's not going to cost them anything. I want to serve God, but I don't want to give anything up in order to do so. That's the attitude that some possess. I'll come and I'll serve Him. I'll live my life for Him. Well, as long as I don't actually have to give up all the things that I want to give up. As long as it doesn't actually cost me a price. I'll serve God, but I won't give anything up to serve God. This is a religion more of convenience and not out of conviction. You see, they want the same benefits that those who faithfully serve God, who give everything they have received, but they don't want to have to pay the price. Going back to our analogy of signing up for that service, they want to be able to sign up for the free plan, but they want the same thing with that free plan the person that's paying $100 is getting with all their bells and whistles of the plan. And they're hoping if I get this free plan that I can get the same thing they're getting at no cost to me. That's how some want Christianity. I don't want to pay anything, but I want the same benefit those that are dedicated in service to God have. But we need to understand this. There is no such thing as a free plan when it comes to serving God. Have your Bibles with you. Turn to 2 Samuel 24. 2 Samuel 24. Here's something David points out about his service to God. A principle that each and every one of us need to live by. In 2 Samuel 24, to give us the context, this is where David has sinned by numbering the people. And after he has numbered the people, God has sent a plague here in chapter 24, and they're being punished and the people are dying off. But the plague will stop if he offers a sacrifice to God. He needs to go to the threshing floor of a man by the name of Araunah. And so, David comes to that threshing floor after Gad told him to go up. And in verse 19, David went up at Gad's word as the Lord commanded. And when Araunah looked down, he saw the king and his servants coming on toward him. And Araunah went out and paid homage to the king with his face to the ground. And Araunah said, "Why has my Lord come to his servant?" David said, "To buy the threshing floor from you in order to build an altar to the Lord, that the plague may be averted from the people." Then Araunah said to David, "Let my lord the king take an offer up what seems good to him. Here are the oxen for burnt offering and the threshing sledges and the yokes of the oxen for the wood. All this, O king, Araunah gives to the king." And Araunah said to the king, "May the Lord your God accept you." Now stop there for a moment. David comes to him and Araunah says, "Listen, you've got to offer a sacrifice. Let me give you the threshing floor." And you use the threshing floor you need. David says, "I'm going to buy it from you." Araunah says, "I'll give it to you." David says, I've got to offer a sacrifice. Aruna says, here's the animals for the sacrifice. Here's the yoke of my oxen for the wood. You take whatever you need and offer a sacrifice to God. Listen to David's reply in verse 24. But the king said to Aruna, no, but I will buy it from you for a price. I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God that cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. David says, no, I'm not going to offer a burnt offering, or I'm not going to offer a sacrifice to God of that which costs me nothing. In fact, it is not a sacrifice if it cost us nothing. You think about under the old law, as the people are to come and offer to God of the very best that they have. And that's because that's a true sacrifice to give that up. But you know what's not a sacrifice? Giving the lame lamb that you had to put down anyway. Giving the blind lamb. Giving the sick lamb. The one that has no benefit to you, so you give it up. That has no cost to it. It was something you had to give up anyway. You were going to have to put down anyway. It was something going to die shortly on its own anyway. And so giving that to God, you burnt it as an offering, but it wasn't a sacrifice. That's the problem of the people of Malachi's day. They're coming to God, but they're not really sacrificing. They're burning something. They're putting something on the altar, but it's not a true sacrifice. Well, remember that it is demanded of us that we be a living sacrifice. And it's not on the board, but go to Romans chapter 12 with me. In Romans chapter 12, and in verse 1, Paul, as he begins the second half of the book of Romans, the second section, this application section, he begins by telling them, by way of the application of this book, that you've been justified by faith through grace, that you need to live in a certain manner of life. And the first thing he says as he introduces this in verse 12, chapter 12, verse 1, is that I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. He says we're to be a living sacrifice. And if we're trying to serve God, but we don't want to give anything up to serve Him, we're not really making a sacrifice. And a sacrifice is what God has called upon us to be. So you see, what we need to understand is, there is no free plan. Some want to know, can I get a cheaper plan? And that, can I get a free plan? And the answer is no. It's always going to cost you something. Now we'll talk later on about what that something is and how much it costs you. But we need to understand right now the principle that serving God comes at a price. It's not a free, there's no such thing as a free plan to get to heaven. A plan that doesn't cost you sacrificing something. But then some may ask, can I get a cheaper plan? And they're not asking about a free plan. They're willing to pay in service to God. They just may not be willing to pay everything they need to pay. And so they want a cheaper plan. In fact, that's the question we're asking this evening. You see, many people are willing to serve God at some cost, but just not at certain cost. They're willing to give up some things to serve God, but not everything, and not give up the things that God demands. So some want a cheaper plan, in that they want a plan that doesn't cost them their family. You see, when one becomes a Christian, it might cause one, to lose their family relationships. Look at Matthew 10 with me. In Matthew chapter 10, beginning at verse 34, let's note the words of Jesus there and what He said. He said, beginning at verse 34, do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have come not to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against his mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You see, what Jesus pointed out here in Matthew 10 is he came to bring not peace but a sword. There will be those, and there have been those, that when one responds in obedience to the gospel, loses some family relationships. They lose their family relationships in obeying the gospel because their family may be in opposition to it. And so, because it can cost them their family, and they may realize it will cost them their family because of how their family may feel towards those who are members of the church, that they may decide, well, I'm not going to obey. I'm not going to do that because if I do, that can cost me some family relationships. And so, I know what you're saying, and I can see what you're saying, but I'm not going to obey that. I'm not going to do that, because that might cost me some family relationships. That is, the attitude is, that some possess is, if it costs me my family, it costs too much. Go back to our analogy we used earlier. You have the services there, and there's a price you have set. And maybe you decide you want to plan for some streaming service, and you say, I'm going to spend $15 a month. And so here's the 15 and under plan, and I'm not spending a dime more than that. At $15, I'm done. And then when you see a plan here that's $20, you say, that's too much. That's more than I'm willing to pay. That's how some feel about giving up their family. When they realize it costs family can cost them their family relationship, now wait a minute. That's a price that's too steep for me. That's a price I'm not willing to pay. And so because of that, some reject the plan of God for fear of losing family relationships. Some just look at God's plan and realize that it might cost them their family relationships, and so they don't want to do so. And so what they want is they want a plan. Just like when you look at those services and you have the list of plans and you hit the details and here's everything that comes with it. They want a plan that says you go to heaven, but you don't lose your family. And your family is going to stand by you. That's the plan they want. And anything other than that just cost too much. Let me tell you a second cheaper plan that some wish they could have. And that is, some wish they could have a plan that doesn't cost the pleasures of sin. Some want a plan that doesn't cost the pleasures of sin. You see, there is no doubt that one can gain some pleasure from sin. It is temporary pleasure, but they can gain pleasure from sin. Go to Hebrews 11 with me. Hebrews 11, that great chapter of faith, that chapter that talks about those great men and women in the Old Testament and how they lived faithfully to God. In chapter 11, in verse 25, it's talking about Moses. And it said, beginning at verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God, listen closely, than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures sin. Now, that is fleeting in nature. We'll talk about that in a second. But let's understand this. The point the Hebrew writer is making is that he chose not to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. That tells me, though, there's pleasure that one may get from sin. And whatever sin they may be in, they may feel they are gaining some benefit or getting something out of it that they're not willing to give up. They're getting pleasure from it, and they're just looking at the pleasure now of sin, and they can't see that that pleasure is temporary in nature. They can't see the fact that that pleasure only lasts for a certain amount of time, and that eventually and ultimately that sin that brings pleasure here brings separation from God for forever. In Revelation 21 and in verse 8, it talks, that chapter is this beautiful description of heaven and what it'll be like. And then in the midst of describing how wonderful heaven is, that city of with the streets paved with gold and the gates of all the different stone, in verse 8 it points out that there are those who will not be there. And what it said in verse 8 was, "But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." You see, there are those who won't be there. And it's those who engage in sin, like that of Revelation 21 and in verse 8, or those who cannot enter the kingdom of God, according to Galatians 5, 19 through 21, are those who engage in the works of the flesh. And though they may feel they're getting pleasure now, they may feel they're doing what makes them happy now, it leads to punishment for all of eternity if one remains in that condition of sin. But despite the fact that it leads to the separation, there are still some who express a desire to serve God, but they're not willing to cast sin aside. I'm willing to serve God, but they want to hold on to that unlawful relationship. Or they want to hold on to this other thing, this other sin over here, and they want to hold to that. I want to serve God, I want to go to heaven, but I don't want to give this up. If it costs me my sin, if it costs them that unlawful relationship, if it costs them giving up some other sin they feel they're gaining pleasure in, that cost is just too much. And so, again, going back to our analogy, they want to scroll through and find a plan that says you can go to heaven, but you can live in sin. And you can keep enjoying the pleasures of sin. You see, there are those that do so. Those that want to stay in their sin despite expressing interest in serving God, they want a plan to serve God. But they want a plan that doesn't cost them sin. They want a plan that allows them to go to heaven without having to give up what they feel brings them great joy here on earth. Some want a cheaper plan, in that they want a plan that doesn't cost family, a plan that doesn't cost the pleasure of sin. Some want a cheaper plan, and that they want a plan that doesn't cost living for self. You see, we live in a society that lives for self-gratification. You go talk to somebody in our society today, somebody asks for advice about something, and the answer that they'll often receive is, "Do whatever makes you happy. Do whatever makes you happy." That's the viewpoint of most of our society today. It doesn't matter what other people say. It doesn't matter what even God's Word says to some. It doesn't matter how everybody else feels. You do what makes you happy, and that's all you need to do, and that'll work, and then you'll be just fine. And because of that, it's poisoning the minds of some to where they want to come and serve God, or at least claim to, but they don't want to have to give up living for self. If it means I can't do the things I want to do, and yes, that can include the sin of the previous point, but that can include other things. I want to come serve God, but if I want to be away from services to deal with this thing that I want to take part in, this thing that I want to partake in, or participate in this other thing I want to partake in, things that I enjoy and make me happy, I'll choose to be there rather than serve God, and that's what they want to do. They feel they should have a plan that will allow them to do so. That it's about what makes them feel good. And so, yes, here's God's Word and what God demands, but here's what I want, and they want to do the things they want to do over the things God demands when they conflict. They want to be happy, as our society would tell them to be. And because of that, the fact that their society wants to live happy, and because Christianity requires us giving up our will for the will of Christ, some will reject serving God. Then we'll come back to Galatians chapter 2 later on in our study, but let's turn there quickly and read it. And we won't spend a great deal of time discussing it right now. We'll come back to that in our final point later on. But you're very well familiar with Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul points out that it is no longer he that lives, but Christ that lives in him. He said, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. But as Paul's attitude is, I live for Christ, and if there's a conflict between his will and my will, the answer is his will. Because he gave himself for us, he died for us, we should live for him. But some reject that. It's too much to give up if it costs living for themselves. Some want to plan to serve God. They want to go to heaven. Oh, I want to be in heaven for eternity. They're afraid of being, maybe afraid of being lost. But then when they find out that it's going to cost them living for themselves, now wait a minute. That's just too much. That's a price that's steeper than I'm willing to pay. And so some want a cheaper plan. And if they want a plan that doesn't cost family relationships, they want a plan that doesn't cost the pleasures of sin, they want a plan that doesn't cost them living for themselves. And then they want a plan that's cheaper because they want a plan, they want to be able to join somebody else's plan. You see, sometimes in life, you can join someone else's cell phone plan or some other kind of plan, and then you both get it cheaper. So you go in together, a couple people get a cell phone, and they get on the same account. You get more lines, you get more discounts. One just sends the money to the other. You got a cheaper cell phone plan. There you go. Your price comes down. You don't have to pay as much. You can do that with many other things. People make share accounts. But you see, some people want to get to heaven by joining someone else's plan. They don't want to have to follow God's plan. They don't want to have to live as God would have them to live, at least not fully. They're hoping that maybe, just maybe, they can join someone else's plan. And there's two different ways in which they want to join someone else's plan. Some hope to join somebody else's plan by getting in on their family being good, or getting in on the church where they attend being good and strong. Ever known somebody maybe they thought they were more righteous than they really were because they had a good family. They attended a strong church. There's some that put their stock in who their family is and think they're so good because of it. You think back into the New Testament, as there are those there that are gloating about being the seed of Abraham. If they weren't living in a manner that was pleasing to God, their thought was, well, we're Abraham's seed. Abraham was righteous, and that was good enough. They still had to live in accordance with God's word. Sometimes today, people live as if they can get in on the coattails of what their parents or their grandparents or great-grandparents have done. That they may come to services some or most of the time, maybe even. They may do some of the things that God demands. But what they're really relying on is they've got a good family, a faithful family, and maybe they can get to heaven because of that. I'll tell you another reason, or another way, that people try to join someone else's plan so it doesn't cost so much. Some want to join someone else's plan by trying to follow the plan that was created by someone else, and not the plan created by God. That is, sometimes there are those who tell you, well, here's a way to get to heaven. And then they come up with their own plan. And their plan, you know, it doesn't cost you family. And maybe it doesn't cost you living in sin. Maybe it doesn't cost you living for yourself. Or maybe you have another price that to you, that's just too much to give up. And then somebody else comes up with their plan, and their plan doesn't require you to give that up. And there are many whose eyes will be opened in the judgment day to realize they are lost because they wanted a cheaper plan and followed not the plan within God's Word, not the plans within this right here, but they followed the plans that were derived from the minds of men. And the plans that men came up with, the plan that maybe made them happy. And because of that, in eternity, they will realize they are lost. Their eyes will be open to realize it's too late. They wanted a cheaper price. And the cheaper price didn't lead them to where they thought they were going. See, some people want a cheaper plan by trying to join someone else's plan. Some people want to lower the cost of getting to heaven. Maybe they'll ride in on the coattails of friends and family. Maybe they'll get there by following the plans that men came up with. But the fact is that there is no, you cannot get to heaven by joining someone else's plan. Can I get a cheaper plan? That's the question we're asking this evening. Some want a free plan. I want to go to heaven, but I don't want it to cost me anything. Or maybe can I just get a plan that's a little bit a cheaper plan? I'm willing to pay a price. Just there's certain things that are too steep of a price. But let me tell you this evening about the only plan. Let's go back to our analogy earlier on. You go to subscribe to this service for TV or internet, and you have all of these plans available to you. And if you want the faster speeds or the slower speeds, or you want to get this streaming service or that streaming service, you want more channels or less channels, you can choose whatever you want because there are so many options. But when it comes to the plan to get to heaven, there are not many plans. There is but one plan. There is but one way. If you were going back to that streaming service analogy, if you were to pick through and there was one plan and you needed that TV service for some reason, maybe you needed the local weather and the only way to get it was this plan, then you're going to pay for that plan that's there. Even if it's a little bit steeper price because there's something on it you may need. Well, see, there's only one plan when it comes to getting to heaven. There's only one way to get there. That's God's way. You see, men may hope and men may desire for a new plan. They may desire for a cheaper plan. But according to the Scriptures, there is only one plan or way. In John chapter 14, go to John 14 with me. As Jesus is speaking there to His apostles, and the night in which He would be betrayed and before the day before His crucifixion, He tells them that He's going, and you know, verse 4, the way to where I am going. And Thomas said, Lord, we do not know where You are going. How can we know the way? Now, as Jesus has been talking before about in His Father's house are many rooms, and He goes to prepare a place for them, He's talking about heaven. And He said that the way you know. That is, there's one way. Verse 6, Jesus then said again, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's God's plan. There is but one. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Peter would point out in the book of Acts chapter 4 and in verse 12, and there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. It's only through Christ, through what God's Word says, that we can get to heaven. That's the only plan there is. The plan that's right here. The plan that we hold in our hands this evening as we turn through the pages of God's Word. And since there's only one plan, then the price that that plan requires is the price we have to pay. I want you to think about this for a second. If you go, to the store, you need to buy something. You may get to the store and you may have a great number of options for whatever you need. Suppose you're cooking and you need one ingredient left for the recipe, and you run down to the store real quick, and here's the name brand, and here's this off brand, and here's this other brand, and you may have several options, and you just buy whichever one you want. But sometimes you go to the store and there's the name brand of whatever it is, and that's the only choice you have. And so if you want to finish that recipe you're making, you pay the price that that one is asking. You can't negotiate down the price of something in the store. You can't go in and say, well, you know, if I went to Walmart, they would have the off-brand of this, and it would be a dollar cheaper, and get them to bring the price down for you. You pay the price that was set on that tag. Well, you see, there's only one plan to get to heaven. Again, it's not like we can go to a shelf, a wide database, and we can say, well, I want this plan or I want that plan. There's one plan. And the price that is set, the price that we have to pay for that plan, is not negotiable. We cannot negotiate the price down so that it costs us less. We pay the price that God demands, and the price that God demands is our everything. Go back to Galatians 2 with me. The price that God demands is He demands our everything. In Galatians chapter 2, in the passage we read earlier in our study, in Galatians 2 and verse 20, it says that I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. It's that price that we have to pay. And that is, Paul says, I'm not living for self. I'm not living by my will. I'm doing what God demands. I'm doing what Christ demands. Remember what Jesus said in the garden as He prayed, not my will, but thine be done. In our service to God, the price is everything. The submitting of our will to the will of God. That's the price we have to pay. That price means we give our everything in our service to God and Christ. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, beginning at verse 12, Moses, as he's talking to the people on the plains of Moab, said in verse 12, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you?" How is it they have to live to be pleasing in the eyes of God? Here was the answer. "But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him." Listen to this part here. "To serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And to keep the commandments and the statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good." Moses didn't tell them that the Lord requires of you some service, or the Lord requires to you to serve Him with most of your heart, but with all our heart. It is a wholehearted devotion and service to God that says His will is more important than ours. It is more important to us than anything else. And it's only then, when our service to Him is with a whole heart and we give our everything, that we can truthfully live for Christ, as Paul did in Galatians 2 and in verse 20. He said, "It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." Paul was willing to pay the price, whatever it took. In fact, it eventually cost him his life. But that price wasn't too much, because he understood the value of what he got in return. To have his sins forgiven and to be in heaven at the throne of God singing praises for all eternity with all those who have lived faithfully to him. So the question we ask when we began is, can I get a cheaper plan? The answer in short is no. And the reason is that there is but one plan. That's God's plan. And that plan demands our everything. Here's the question for you this evening. Have you obeyed the plan of God? The only plan there is. The only plan to get you into heaven. If you have, continue in following Him. Living a life of wholehearted service. Knowing that when life on earth is over, we can be for heaven, in heaven for all eternity. And we can be there singing praises to God. But if you're here and you've not yet obeyed the plan of God, you need to realize that your life is but a vapor that appears for a short time and then vanishes away. As James would point out in James chapter 4. You're not guaranteed tomorrow, because life could end. Or Christ could return. Of that day and of that hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. According to Matthew chapter 24 and in verse 36. And so because of that, if you're here and you've not yet responded in obedience to the gospel, but you've heard the word of God and you believe in Jesus Christ, the one that is the way, the truth, and the life, that He gave His life for you. He came, He lived, and He died, and He gave His life for you, and rose up on that third day, that you and I could have that hope of heaven. Will you not repent of your sins, confess your faith in Him, being buried in the waters of baptism, and giving everything you have in service to God, knowing that you can be in heaven for all of eternity? Maybe you're here and you've done that, and you say, somewhere along the line, I live more for self, or I went back to the old pleasures of sin. If it's a sin of a private nature, you can take it to the Lord right now privately in prayer, and He will forgive you if you're sincere in that. But if it's a sin of a public nature, or you desire the prayers of the congregation, then we will gladly pray with you and for you for God to forgive you. No matter what your need is, would you not give everything you have in service to God so you can have that hope in heaven? And do so right now together as we stand and as we sing.